Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen, and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
It is a final, the game and the series. Whoa. The results are good at the end of the day. A Brewers victory, and that's all that counts right now. Wow, welcome everybody.
That was fun.
Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Things got a little testy there at the end.
I can't be mad at Manny Pena, though. He did hit the two-run shot to start everything up. Hey. Three driven in. Spotted him two more in the later parts of the game, but
they just wanted to make things a little interesting.
A little dicey.
Yeah, they wanted to make sure the Wendy's Big Show continued just for a couple of more minutes. That's all. They were shooting for extra innings.
Well, they just wanted to hear all about Robert's specialty meets.
That's true. Mm-hmm. True.
That is always true.
Yeah, the series, and that's the main thing, guys. The series ends with a Brewers victory here. They take 2 of 3 against the Atlanta Braves, and now you look back at the season totals. The Brewers are 3-3 head-to-head against these Braves. They lose 2 out of 3 down there. Take 2 out of 3 here at the most opportune time to do so. Because as we've been talking about with the David Stearns quotes yesterday, saying the next couple of weeks are going to be pretty big for this baseball team. Off to a nice little 2 out of 3 run. They've won, let's see, 3, 4, 5. Hey, wait a second, guys. This baseball team here has won 3 of their last 5.
Okay, there you go.
How about it?
It's got to start somewhere. But the best part is, Tim, you're starting to score some more runs consistently. At least you hope so. Maybe it was just the offensive outburst that we saw yesterday. But if you're able to start putting together and stringing together games where you're putting runs on the board consistently, I know, crazy idea. But when you score runs, this team is really, really, really good. When the offense that they were supposed to lean on all year long, now 44-18 in games where you score 4 or more runs.
And they outscored. And here's why you got to be careful with that stat run differential. You got to be very careful with that in the 3 games. Just 3 games. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday here. Brewers plus 10. That's why you got to be kind of careful with that run differential thing. That thing can sway in a big, big hurry.
Mm-hmm. For sure, it can.
They outscored the Atlanta Braves in this 3-game set 20-10, and you'll take that. Now there was some bumps in the road here. Junior Guerra in the 8th inning. I don't know what you're doing a 4-pitch walk and a 2-run bomb when you're up 5-0. Okay, Josh Hader into a little bit of trouble. Starts out with some bad luck, a broken bat, base hit. But nonetheless, they get the victory today, and that's the main thing, as I'm hanging with them. I could, you know what, we can talk all day, and we will, about what David Stearns and the organization is going to do, but it's up to you. Do you guys hang with them? Do you guys hang with them? And you know what the cool thing about that question is, Billy, is that if the answer is no, it's okay. I'm not saying you're not a Brewers fan.
Yeah, no, you're not going to criticize or chastise people for saying, no, man, I just don't think they're going to do it.
I don't think they have it. And I get that, and I will respect that. I don't agree with it, but I'll definitely respect it.
I don't have to like it.
I don't like it. I'll just say that right now. But are you going to hang with them? Because I am. And I've been hanging with them, and there's been a lot of Brewer fans that have. I will say that. I don't believe that the hang with them is the minority. I don't believe that. I think the vast majority of Brewer fans are hanging with them because, hey, man, the Cubs aren't hot either. They're not.
No, and it looks a little bit tougher because they've started winning a couple of games here, and just don't blink now, but they do have a little bit more of that dramaticness that they have after the walk-off homer yesterday. They're up 5-2 right now over the Reds, And they're maybe dispatching the Reds like somebody would have expected one of these teams would have.
Yeah.
Somebody was going to start knocking them down. The Brewers have pretty much dominated the Pittsburgh Pirates, albeit the series against the All-Star break that everybody looked at there. Before that, the Brewers had owned the Pirates. So you're seeing maybe the cream start rising to the top once we get to the end of the dog days of summer, Tim. But right now, you're right in the heat of it, and this is where you chew up days, rip off days off the calendar, keep yourself in it. Christian Yelich had a great way of putting it. I mean, we're incredibly fortunate where we are right now. We could be out of this thing. Yeah. Now we just got to take advantage of the good fortune.
Absolutely, and that's the cards you've been dealt right now. So take advantage of it. Yeah, we would want them to play better. There's no question. However, if you're dealt this hand, then let's play it, because the hand isn't that bad.
No, it's not. Not at all.
And they may be bluffing. They may be bluffing in the front office here. I don't think so. I think they know what they've got here, and that is an opportunity to still have a special season. That's still on the table, guys. That's still a poker hand that hasn't been shown yet. Are you hanging with them? Because honestly, we have zero control over this stuff, right?
I wish we had more.
Me too.
It would make it a lot easier.
Pitcher
it would make
been
days
batting.
When I sit here and yell that the game's over and this thing's in the bank earning interest, we wouldn't have to deal with two more runs being crossed.
It's the roller coaster ride of a season. It is, and that's what we're on right now. It's a roller coaster ride. I think it is a little unfair to put all of this on a two-week span, but okay, that's them. Regardless of that, are you hanging with them? I threw this out there on Twitter just a short time ago. It's really simple. Regardless of anything that's going on, underachieving or Travis Shaw or the bullpen or some bad luck. Bad luck is rearing its ugly head way too much this year. I will say that. Can we knock that off? Can we knock off the bad luck?
It would be nice if it turned around here a little bit.
No doubt.
The one thing, Tim, that I'll say that has been, for me, hanging with the team, that was tough for me to do, and is still difficult for me to do, is the flip-flopping of the situation with Corbin Burnes and Freddie Peralta. You put him into the rotation. You wanted him in the rotation. You decided that was the best course of action for your organization after Corbin had incredible success in the bullpen last year. Woodruff had great success in the bullpen last year in the playoffs. Now,
he
stepped into the starter role. I expected Brandon Woodruff to be a dominant big league starter.
You did.
With Corbin Burnes and Freddie Peralta, I thought that you had guys that had maybe better opportunities in single, two-inning performances. But there seems to be a distinct need in the organization to keep putting Freddie Peralta in situations that he just doesn't seem that successful in. And that's what's being tough for me to hang with him.
Yeah, there are some decisions that still got to be...
I was cringing when Freddie took the ball today.
They still got to play out a little bit. And then they're feeling things out. What a better time than to find out your role while you're in a pennant race. It is a good time to do that.
Yeah,
because
no doubt.
You're afforded the opportunity to do that. So I threw this out there on Twitter. Are you hanging with him? Despite what the organization does, says... Or any how they play, whatever. Are you hanging with them? 414-799-1250. You've heard the term in baseball. Hang with them. Hang with them.
Come on now, hang in there, kid. Need one more here.
That's it. That's it. It's very simple. Hey, Spark of the Game, brought to you by Current Electric, your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. I'll call it the Spark of the Series. Here's another question to think about and digest. As 36,000-plus come out of Miller Park today, is this sort of the coming-out party of Keston Hiura? Are you not convinced now that we may have the next superstar in our midst?
Gary Ellerson just said it on the big show. He had been the one trying to pour water on Steve and I as we had been burning it at both ends for Keston Hiura, calling that he was going to be one of the top prospects this team has seen, this organization has seen in so long, and heard Rick Sweet say, and this has been a tagline, that Rick Sweet thought that he reminded him of Edgar Martinez and Ken Griffey Jr., two dudes that are in the Hall of Fame. Said, it's not Ken Griffey, but that dude is good.
He's 8-for-11 in this three-game set.
Timmy's just got such a quiet confidence about him at the plate that you just don't see every day.
He knows, and I love the term barrel-to-ball skills. And this dude has it. He when he hits one, he hits one. He's And this is
his base hits are leaving the bat at like 112 miles an hour.
And this is one of the things that fly under the radar here because we and okay, it's okay to get caught into the layers of the onion, if you will. That you know we see that there's bullpen issues at times, and then the starters went through a rough patch a couple of months ago, but now things starting to look a little bit different. Just in the nick of time. Just in the nick of time, man.
Maybe just in the nick of time.
Well, I don't know about that. I feel good.
Feel good.
I do.
That's better than you felt 3 days ago.
Yeah, I was mad.
Because I got text when I wasn't in here on, what was that, Sunday? Or Saturday night? Saturday night. No, they won Saturday night.
Yes, 5-4.
When Matt Albers blows up in the 10th, in the 11-run game Giants put up. That was Friday night.
Friday night, the grand slam.
I had so many people tweeting at me while I'm up in Green Bay at the Oneida Casino playing a little bit of craps, doing a little bit of Wheel of Fortune. All I see is, dude, you better call Tim. You better call him. Like, I don't know if you want to talk to him on air. I don't know if you want to talk to your boy on the phone, offside.
Right.
Just call and see that he's okay. People thought you were a ticking time bomb.
Are you hanging with them, regardless of all this buy and sell and rumors?
I'm here, Timmy.
Trade rumors.
True blue.
Yeah, I'm hanging with them, guys. And it's okay at 414-799-1250. It's okay to say no. It's all right. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah, we won't bash you, only a little.
You could make the argument for that. You could make the argument. Honestly, some of the numbers don't lie. But there's just a feeling. There's a feeling out there. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Christmas in July. Don't you feel it? No.
I'm starting to feel it a little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more.
We'll get our game recap coming up in just a couple of minutes. But Brewers get a victory today. And it was nail-biting toward the end there. Wow. That would have been something else.
That would have been brutal if Josh Hader comes in and blows one again.
Man. Oh, man.
Now, Tim, quickly before the break, and we got to get a sports flash, but you and I talked about it last night, and I don't know if it was on the air or off the air that we were talking about this, but wanting Josh Hader as early as you could today.
You had him ready to go in the seventh.
In the seventh inning when we were joking that I'd have him up in the seventh. I don't care who pitches at nine. Just get him ready. You had him in a 5-run game, a 5-0 game. You don't get to the nervousness at this point in time if you bring him in that situation. But for them to bring him in a 5-run game, Craig Counsell would be getting blasted left and right for that.
And that means that they are taking every game as sort of a playoff game right now.
It's the race to Hader.
It's the race to improve during this 2-week stretch that your boss, David Stearns, had put the edict out there the next couple of weeks is going to determine. So, okay, Craig Counsell then rebuts that and says, all right, fine. If I'm in the playoffs, I'm getting Josh Hader up in the seventh. I'll have Alex Claudio close this game out if I have to.
But Hader has only pitched in 5 games that the Brewers have lost this season.
If Freddie Freeman comes up in the seventh inning and the bases are juiced, which that was the situation, I'm going to my hammer here.
You're getting up there, kid.
If you're telling me that the 2 weeks is going to determine where we go here, then it's a playoff.
I'm going to throw this dude's arm off. Yep. He better get me into the playoffs. He better go get me somebody at the deadline. I don't care if it's Will Smith. I don't care if it's Alex Colome. I don't care what it is. I would like both of them. But you need relievers in the back end there. Ken Giles is a name that's starting to float out there from the Toronto Blue Jays. You'll start seeing more and more of these relievers get pushed out here to the side. Another name that you and I both really love. Now, in the division, it's going to be tough to make that deal, and it's going to take a boatload because of the control that he has. But Felipe Vasquez is nasty.
Oh, man.
Would you want to talk about having two of the most dominant left-handed relievers in baseball?
Good morning and good night.
Over. Yeah, you don't even get lunch. No free lunch.
Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show.
We ate your lunch.
Presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Brewers get a victory today. And want to know if you're hanging with them, regardless of everything they've gone through here, through a 50-47 mark. We'll be back here on The Fan.
Let's add this one up, Brewers fans. Time to go inside the box score. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union, Local 113. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org.
5-4 victory, but things got a little testy toward the end there. Man, wow. Okay, but this is where the fashion show is flushed down the toilet. Just win the baseball game. Just for now. You want to start putting things together and doll it up a little bit, play a little bit better baseball coming up. But right now, it is clearly about winning baseball games.
You just got to get W's. You just got to stack them up. Moose said something about it last night. He's like, you know what, guys? It doesn't really matter what happens. It's nice that we scored all these runs, right? It's great. But really, I don't care if we win by one. We could win by 15. As long as you're putting a W there in the column and you're checking those boxes off, you're going to keep yourself in this thing and allow yourself to go on a run. Maybe not the crazy nature that you did last year where you rattle off 20 wins in a month, but it allows you to be in that discussion.
I'm not ruling that out yet.
For them to win 20 in a month again like they did last year in September?
I don't know,
chase down the team 5.5 games up?
Maybe not in the calendar month, 1st to 30th. But in a 30-day span.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
They won 33% of their games in about a month span.
There's a lot of talent on this team, and there is a ton of bad luck on this team. So
there's just too much talent for there to not be...
No doubt.
Not be good.
No doubt.
Darvish wins his first game at Wrigley Field, Tim, since he joined the Chicago Cubs.
That's too bad.
552 days.
That's too bad. I liked him when he was losing all
I was really games. Liking him when he was losing those games at Wrigley.
Beer Count Kenny at 799-1250. You're hanging with him, right?
Oh, you better believe it. How can't you? We're in a pennant race.
Okay.
Take the good with the bad.
See, we learn over the course of time.
Exactly. I mean, this thing is not easy, this game called baseball. And to stay where you're at right now, or I should say to be where you're at right now, through all you've been through, the problems with the pitching staff, the injuries. You know, there's no way you can get off this train. If you're getting off this train and Stearns doesn't make moves, you don't tell me you're all in at the beginning of the season if you ain't making moves a game or two back. That makes no sense to me. So I don't want to hear this 2 weeks nonsense, then I'll let you know what I'm doing. The only thing he should be doing between now and 2 weeks is putting together relievers, because this bullpen needs some help desperately, and it wouldn't be bad to get another starting arm. I know Gio's coming back, but the reality is that you're still going to need a starting arm to help these guys out. So with that being said, the offense, they're going to bust out big time. They're going to be able to win ball games for you, but you can't beat this offense down by blowing games in the bullpen. You just can't.
That was near disaster today.
It was, but fortunately they you know, it was averted and they went and they won, and that's the key. You have to win these ball games, especially when you're at home. You got to protect your home turf. Keep the people coming. Keep their interest high. And this team, there's no reason from one end of the state to the other that the Brewer fans aren't excited again, because we're in it.
They are. Beer Count Kenny, thanks, dude.
Yep.
They are in it, but the bullpen thing is right. Been squawking about that for a while.
That's been our number one
need
and also mistake, I guess, that we would point to in the regime of David Stearns. At least it is for me. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But when you lose a reliever of Corey Knebel's ilk, at that point, the dedication that it takes to using the bullpen the way that Craig Counsell wanted to, the usage that he put on that, the usage rate of their relievers, high-end relievers, too. I mean, when you're just talking about the three dudes last year of Knebel, Jeffress, and Hader, and I understand Knebel was up and down all of last year, but he did appear for you about 50 times, and a lot of those were in September, in high, high-leverage situations. You're not going to have that because you never replaced him. And you never got somebody that you can trust in that situation day in and day out to get through that point. It's my biggest criticism of what they've done here so far in the regime, but it can also be overlooked, or maybe it's just not as important if you put together a run like we know that they're capable of doing.
41,000, 42,000, 43,000. 31,000, 31,000, and today 36,000 fans in attendance in a six-game homestand.
Right in the dead heat of summer. It's been the hottest it's been all this week.
I'm sorry, 40, 42, 43, 31, 31, 36.
So they had over 40,000 each of the three games against the Giants.
Yes.
And for this series, they sold $5 tickets, and they had over 30,000 for each game.
On a Monday and a Tuesday night in the front end. And then a 36,000 gate today. That's I won't say...
Go talk to Atlanta about those numbers.
Yeah.
And go see what the Atlanta Braves owners think of that. Because they just tore down or changed stadiums 20 years after building one because they couldn't get people to come to their games.
It is a love affair that the fans have here. And I'm not going to say that this organization owes you anything. I think that's a little harsh. But I mean, it's time to hold up sort of that end of the bargain a little bit at times. At times. We can't listen to the fans and me and us and say, this is what you got to do. And that would be somewhat disastrous in itself at times. But at times, I think you do have to follow through because that's a respect to your fan base. It is. Do you agree with that or not?
I do because that's the money that's coming into your organization and you continue to point to that and need it to be able to put a competitive product out. But in last year's run to the playoffs, the 96 win year, the Brewers got an extra, what, six home gates? And then it gives them the opportunity to put out their highest payroll that they've done before.
Right.
So when you stack success that way, I believe then you get more into the position where we owe it to the fans to be buying a Dallas Keuchel when he's sitting out there in the middle of May. We owe it to our fans to find a way to acquire Jacob deGrom, even though he's got $130 million on his contract. Like, those are the times you make those moves, I believe, and you do it in a way that you're trying to showcase you're giving back and putting money back into the team. They've done that so far. But to where they are at this point in time, understanding where the organization is and the strength of the organization, I think some of it is just really, really smart business, understanding that maybe if you don't blow your full load this year and you save a little something for the next 2-3 years, that you know that you're going to be really, really competitive.
Well, aren't they there now, though, in theory?
They are, absolutely. But they've also, in theory, done the moves that you believe are the ones paying back your fans.
Tweak them. You just got to adjust them a little.
Just a little adjustment.
Just a little taster.
Like you bought the pants. You bought the belt, too, that was with the new pants.
True.
But now you lost a little bit of weight. Or maybe you gained a little bit. Maybe you gained a little bit, and you got to drill one more hole there in on the front end.
Just an adjustment.
To make them still look great. I get it.
Down at Maria's Tailor Shop. Just take your clothes in there. Just get them adjusted.
See, now you're going with the high price. You're going with the Mad Bum rentals where you're going into a tailor to do it.
I think
a lot of people are more on the side that just do it yourself. Just find a punch. Find a drill at home and just try to drill a little hole and make sure that it's maybe a little eighth of an inch and just see if that fits in.
Grab your needle and thread.
Poke it through. You have a sewing kit, don't you?
I don't.
You do have a sewing kit.
I don't.
You're kidding me, right?
I have a ton in my bathroom bag. You've seen my bathroom bag. It's like bigger than a football. So I have a lot of things. You need a bobby pin? Hey, man, the old show, Let's Make a Deal.
You need a bobby pin? You don't have any hair.
Well, I'm just saying. I have paper clips. You never know what you're going to need to poke through certain things and clean things out.
Poke through and clean things out. Yeah, get all that stuff out of there.
Let's check the numbers inside the box.
Let's do that.
As the Brewers get a 5-4 win.
That's a good decision, Timmy. Dallas Keuchel, most importantly, gets the loss. His third loss of the year. 5-2. Thirds innings pitched, 4 earnings against Dallas Keuchel, the $13 million man for the Atlanta Braves. He gives up has five strikeouts as well. 2 homers given up, those 2 long balls coming off the bats of Manny Pena and Christian Yelich, his league leading, well, tying for the league lead with Cody Bellinger at 34. Locane got on base 1, 0-for-3 on a walk. Christian Yelich, his only time around the bases was around Tripper on a solo shot. Ryan Braun, 1-for-3 with a run scored and a walk. Keston Hira, once again, multiple hits for Keston Hira, 323 average. Keston Hira has sitting right now 990 OPS for Hira. 2-for-4 with a run scored and a run driven in. Jesus Aguilar, 0-for-4 with a run scored, reached on a strikeout. Manny Pena, 2-for-3 with 3 driven in and a 2-run shot. Orlando Arcia with 1 base hit today. Tyler Saladino stunningly with an 0-for-3. Chase Anderson, 0 for 2 in his appearances, and Eric Thames got in with a pinch hit roll. He was 0 for 1. Chase Anderson today, 5 and 2-thirds, gets you 17 outs, 1 hit, no runs, 3 walks and 3 Ks from Chase. A little salty that Counts didn't let him finish out that 6th inning when he walks Freddie Freeman there with 2 outs in the 6th?
Yeah, it's the same old song and dance. At some point, you're going to have to start buying an out or 2, Craig, because of the plight of the bullpen right now. So, yeah, a little bit salty.
In the bullpen today, it was nauseating. Can I just say that for Freddie Peralta? It was nauseating. It was scary.
Junior, too.
Well, no doubt, but Freddie Peralta keeps the runs clean, gives up a hit and 3 walks in an inning and a third of work, gets a hold. Junior Guerra gives up 2, a walk, a strikeout, a home run given up to Josh Donaldson, 2 runs cross against Junior's ledger. Josh Hader gets his 21st save of the year, 1 inning, 3 hits, 2 runs. They were unearned against Josh Hader, 2 strikeouts for Josh in the appearance. Brewers win at 5 hit runs on 7 hits, 1 error. And for the Braves, who leave losers, that's 4 awesome. Runs, 6 hits on 1 error. That's Brewers awesome. Now 50-47.
Yeah, it was 36,928 at Miller Park as the Brewers find themselves still 2.5 back in the National League Central as they are the defending National League Central champions. And with a record 50-47, you got to start building back up a little bit. Their high watermark 10 games over, most recently at 39-29. This hour on the Fan is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com.
So with the win today, and depending on the result with the Philadelphia Phillies, as they take on the LA Dodgers later on tonight at Citizens Bank Park. The Brewers now in a tie with the Phillies for the second wild card berth.
This is the fun portion of the season here, and any pennant race is a fun one in Brewerville because we're Brewers fans, and since 1970, we've experienced very few of these. So
not
enjoy
1969?
Them. Not 1969. That's the Seattle Pilots.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about
the same organization.
The Milwaukee Brewers. Speaking of which, I'm reading Jim Boughton's book, Ball 4. Have you read that book?
No, I have not. I don't read many books.
I would highly recommend that book.
Can I borrow it when you're done with it?
He mentions the Pilots a lot. Yeah,
cool.
It's really cool. It is. You want to take a call? Take a break.
Let's grab Bruce.
Let's do it. Bruce, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Yeah, well, you asked a question, and I'll answer. They need another reliever besides Hader. And I'll tell you why. Because the way Council treats him, he can't go 2 or 3 games. And you need another guy to close the game besides Hader. You need somebody besides Hader to close it.
I agree. I'm not
being negative. I'm just being realistic.
No, I agree with
can't.
You. Bruce, I'm all with you, man. We're right hand in glove on that, man. They need a closer to where Josh Hader, like today, when the game was starting to tip a little bit. Now, granted, it was a 5-0 lead at that time. He was ready to pull the trigger on Josh Hader in the 7th inning today. I like that.
And you know what? I'm glad he didn't. Because you know what? And by the way, the last couple of games I've seen, the guy who I've been disappointed, he keeps going back to Junior Guerra. I think, you know what? You can use Junior Guerra, but you know what? Once in a while, you got it. The guy who would pitch real good 2 nights in a row, why not go back to him? Because what the guy they just brought up from the minor leagues,
Jay Jackson, Bert Smith.
Yeah, I would have rather had him in there rather than Junior Guerra. Junior Guerra very seldom has been recently.
Bruce, you going to hang with him?
Oh, I'm hanging. Hey, I'm a Brewer fan no matter what.
Yes,
but
sir. Good man.
They got to do more than just go with the guys they got.
Okay.
I mean, they need somebody better than Hader. When I say better, I mean they need somebody that they can go with if they can't go with Hader.
Like a closer,
sure.
like a real closer.
Yeah.
That can close 2 out of 3 games, like boom, boom, and then skip a game and then go again 3 or 4. All right, Bruce, thanks for the call. No, I agree with them. We're right on par with that.
Yeah, no doubt. And we've wanted that. And Mark tweets at the Fan and says, ilk of Corey Knebel. Yeah, Corey Knebel was an all-star that he was coming off the season. And beginning of last year, Jeremy Jeffress was a middle reliever, right? I mean, he was starting. He was coming into games in the middle of the fifth inning.
He was.
Josh Hader was a setup guy, and Corey Knebel was going to be your all-star closer coming off a year where he set the franchise record for saves. He goes down in the first week, and it opened it up where you were then able to have the growth of the other guys in that bullpen. You haven't replaced that, and you still need to.
You do. You do. And now reinforcements on the way. Announced today, Gio Gonzalez will start, and he will be back with the club. And Adrian Hauser moved from the rotation back to the bullpen.
Okay.
14 appearances for Hauser this year out of the bullpen with an ERA just over one.
So whose bags are packed in there? Tray tables are in the upright position.
I think Birch and Jay Jackson are going to play a game of Fortnite to see who goes down.
Can we keep Jay Jackson up here, though?
Maybe.
That's my man. You see him the other last night? Two innings?
Yeah.
Locked down?
He's
got that little turn in the windup. I like it. I like all of every part of it.
Leaving Miller Park is Dean. Dean, you're on the fan.
Yeah, I'm always a Brewer fan first. And I'm a little bit tentative this year just because of just how they played. I was very happy today with their performance, and Manny Pena had a tremendous game today, calling the game defensively and hitting. So I'm hoping he's your MVP. Bottom line is they need extra pitching help. You guys have identified it. And I've been watching Council in the close-ups in the dugout whenever you get a chance to see him. The guy's got to be developing a massive ulcer. It's been rough on him. So, you know, I know the Atlanta manager got manager of the year last year, but I think even if they don't make the playoffs, Council gets manager of the year for me. And I know he's made some mistakes, but he's made some mistakes because he's had to.
Okay.
I'm hoping that they can get some more pitching. And two relievers would be great. If there's some starter out there without giving away the farm, because I think this team can still do it. But, you know, sometimes you lose a little faith and you got to bounce up and down with this crazy season.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. It's a little bit of a roller coaster. They're going through it in many cities. Same deal. Thanks, Dean. They are. You know, sometimes you got to just...
No cities more, though, than the teams in the NL Central. Because it's the tightest... All these other divisions, Tim, are pretty much over. Look at the NL West.
Or close to.
That thing's done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's done. 13 and a half games. Nobody is breaking that. But in the NL East, the Braves have felt like they're just about closing the deal there. Mm-hmm. But the Washington Nationals had a hot stretch. Phillies are still within 10. And you can always have a two-week span or a three-week span like the Brewers. There will be other teams that go through a run where they win 33% of their games.
On Craig Council, that's why he's paid what he's paid, man. It can be a grinder. It can age you. It can age you.
Craig still doesn't look all that bad, though. Right? Like, I think he's still hanging in there. Like, he's still got most of his hair.
Okay.
He isn't graying too much.
Oh, he will.
He will. I mean, like, if you want to give him, like, two more postseasons.
It's done.
It'll look, he will be a Just for Men model.
He'll come out looking like Ken Maka.
Grandpa Kenny.
Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Brewers win 5-4.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yelich in the air, left center field. That ball's way back, and this one's going to fly out of here. Christian Yelich, number 34. An absolute bomb in the left center field. 3-0 Brewers. As Yelich goes deep in back-to-back games.
And there it is, your wrench-and-go drive of the game as heard on Fox Sports Wisconsin as the Brewers get the 5-4 victory. Christian Yelich back tied for the home run lead. I'm not ruling out. I'll go you one further. I'm not only hanging with this team, I'm hanging with Christian Yelich as well.
He's going to hit 50.
I still think he's got a shot at the Triple Crown. I do. Now, he's got some lifting to do on the RBIs. That's why the Grand Slam yesterday was huge for him.
It's going to be tough for me, Tim, for him to win the MVP if he doesn't get the Triple Crown. And I know that's kind of unfair to put on him. But he's way back of my boy Jeff McNeil, and I don't know if anybody's getting him on the average spot. But with what Bellinger does defensively and what he's done in the WAR category, the wins above replacement, it'll be tough for him to get the back-to-back, also because the BBWA wants everybody to know that they're in charge.
Yeah.
They'll tell you who is the best player in baseball.
Yeah, a 74-year-old baseball writer.
Hey. At least we get Adam McAlvey, hey, who knows what he's talking about.
I can play the age thing, too. I was accused of wearing a toupee today.
No way.
By Freeman.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was
Your
funny.
Your hair does not look like a toupee, though.
It's funny. It was funny. Hey, I've hammered,
it is good.
I've hammered those guys enough. Okay.
At least finally somebody takes a jab at you.
Yes,
we have been hoping people were going to start taking a couple of jabs at us. Our podcast got canceled, but
way big respect for Chuck Freeman.
That
for
is
even,
good stuff. That is good stuff.
Bringing that.
Well, Coach Allen, what do you got? A toupee going on there?
That's what he said.
What's going on with the top of that head, Freeman?
414-799-1250. Hanging with the crew here through some, I will say, some tough times. And I will say that if you're not, it's okay. You're still going to go out and tailgate. You're still going to go out on baseball card night.
Sure, maybe.
Pick up your pack of baseball cards when you're at Miller Park.
Four people will be there.
And, well, compare that to Grateful Dead night.
Well, everybody was going to go for my birthday. I think that was why people were going to Grateful Dead night. They knew it was Bill Schmidt Day.
But we'll still go out there and tailgate. We're still going
to
get out there and have some beers. And have some nachos and some hot dogs or whatever.
Jalapenos on those.
It's all right to say that you just don't have a ton of faith in them, just based on what you know about baseball, and I completely understand that part of it. You know, some of the numbers, they are rather concerning. You know, the offense finally, as of late, has picked things up, and that's where this has got to come from in my book. Yeah, the bullpen needs some work, but the bullpen and the starters are made better by some offense here, and not just some offense.
Legitimate offense.
Yes.
Legitimate power numbers, because it's, we're not breaking news here. It's a proven fact. Pitchers pitch better when they get run support. Pitchers pitch better when they start with a lead. Starting pitchers that go out there with a two-run lead before they take the ball on the road, chances are they're going to win that game.
Bullpen pitchers, bullpen decisions by the manager are made a lot easier when you've got an offense. He pulled a starting pitcher the other day, Craig Counsell did, and his reasoning was because we were down. It was the sixth inning. They were down 2-1. I mean, there should be no reason for that to come out of his mouth right now because of this offense was, you know, you're chasing. You're chasing every night trying to come back from, and at that point, it was just a run. So you got to have more faith in your offense, and hopefully these guys get it together. Lorenzo Cain, I don't know if you caught this yesterday, Craig Counsell's comments about Lorenzo Cain. Not a lot of pressure on you, Lo.
Right.
But you got to get it done for us.
Yeah, we really need that out of Lo, right? It was like when Lo Cain starts hitting, that's what we need. And for us to be able to get to where we want to go, Lo Cain's got
to
do that.
All he right, has
cool,
to
thanks,
do that.
Skip.
Yeah, and that was a little strange coming out of Craig Counsell, but he may be right.
Well, and two, Tim, this is another player angle thing where Counts has been the player that's been leaned on by managers in championship level teams. I mean, he led off for a team that won the World Series.
Yeah.
So he's been a prominent player. He also was an average player later on in his career. So I think he knows certain guys and is able to read certain dudes. Stevie made fun of me yesterday on the Big Show for saying a manager is a psychologist before anything else. I mean, before you write out a lineup card, you got to know how everybody in your locker room and your clubhouse is going to react to pretty much every decision you make. And if you're not taking that into account, then I think you're doing yourself and your team a disservice. Craig Counsell thinks about that with every single move he makes. Maybe he knows Lo Cain is the kind of guy that you give him the kick in the pants, he's going to respond better than others would.
He has told us that in an interview just a couple of years ago, that you do have to manage players differently. They're not all the same. Some guys, and I think he put it, some guys you got to kick in the butt. Other guys you got to stay positive with. And I just wonder if he's got that knack. Good leaders do have that knack. I've been a big Craig Counsell fan, and I still say he's going to manage a World Series winning organization. I hope it's here.
Dude, I just hate when you say that and you don't say with.
But Brewers. you never know.
I'll be the guy, the insecure Bucks fan. Man, why can't Giannis just say Milwaukee? Why can't he say he wants to win here?
Because you never know.
Why can't
know.
Tim say that Craig Council's going to win a World Series
here? I would love to say that, but gee, I mean, you don't know. Pro sports is a weird thing.
Did you have that feeling with Ned Yost?
No. No, Ned Yost got better as the years went by.
So you were surprised that Ned Yost improved to a point where he was a World Series winning manager?
Not necessarily surprised, but it's just that he wasn't as good. And Craig Counsell started, I think, at a higher level. So his talent level was above both of them first-time managers, right? Here in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. But I think Craig Counsell had a head start for whatever reason. There's probably a number of reasons. Maybe it's as you said, the World Series rings that Craig Counsell has. Maybe it's him spending a little more time in the front office. And I think that has proven to be a big-time commodity for Craig Counsell. When Doug Melvin took him under his wing into the front office, I think he got different angles of the industry of baseball on how things were run.
And understanding the underlying parts of the business side. You're right. He was able to learn where decisions are made and why decisions are made that might not only be clear and concise to somebody that played the game or somebody playing the game at this point. Tim, your poll that you put out on Twitter on 105.7 FM The Fan, it's about 45 minutes old, a couple hundred votes here. 81% coming back with yes, 10% saying no, 9% as the cool guys that don't care that much about sports say just don't care.
Yeah, I threw that in there just because.
Because there's always got to be the cool dude, right? The guy that's like too cool for school.
I don't really care if the Brewers make the playoffs, man. Whatever. Like, I thought they were good, but like, if they're not, whatever. I don't really care.
We're tailgating. What is that?
Yeah, we're all going to go out to Grateful Dead Night and fry up a couple of burgers and maybe fry up a couple of other things. But it's going to be really, really fun.
You got the pen handy?
Yeah,
you can bring the pen. And yeah. No, it's.
Where did you get the pen into Miller Park?
It's okay. It's okay if you don't. Again, I can't reiterate this enough.
Taster.
That it's all right if you don't think they can get it done. And I'm not asking.
Yeah,
you
we're not going to be mad at you,
right? I'm not asking you if they should sell because that's the easy one. Just are you going to hang with them? If not, hey man, we'll still catch some games. You'll still buy the ticket. It's the VFW from Wausau. It's got their yearly outing.
I heard one news talk station up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. They were doing a car show on Sunday or Saturday morning as I was driving over to my buddy's place for the wedding.
Like a repair shop?
Like a repair show. So you'd call in and this guy would tell you what's wrong with your transmission. You know, I got this thing wrong. My transmission's making this weird noise, a little rattle sound.
Carburetor.
And the guy would come on, he goes, you know, I think it's actually your carburetor. And then they play a commercial right out of the gates that says, hey, come to the WFBI, whatever it was. Come along trip to the Brewer game.
That's cool.
We're going on July 27th. We'll stop in Oshkosh, get subs, and then we're going all the way down. And there was a second where I thought about it. I was like, that's weird. I didn't know that they'd advertise for a come along trip to a Brewer game. But then you realize that it's 2 hours for those people as well. You can't necessarily just pack the family in a car and drive down there. I think that's also what's so impressive about the attendance numbers that the Brewers always are having.
We can. I mean, we can here.
I can decide that I want to go to the game when it's a 7 o'clocker and I don't do on deck at 5:39. Text a couple of buddies and hop on SeatGeek and buy tickets in the second deck and go. Right away.
Euchre says it all the time in the second inning.
Come on out and join us.
Have plenty of time, plenty of room
for you.
Come on out. You know it. So I'm not doubting.
I'm going to steal that line from him if I ever become a big time play by play guy.
What's that?
Come on out, plenty of room for you.
Do it.
If I get to that point, I will use it every single game. Come on out, plenty of room for you, even when it's sold out. No, not a seat in the crowd.
I've stolen so many things from Bob Euchre and received a lot of credit.
That you have, my friend.
I'm not going to tell you which ones. Nope. I'll just
theater of the mind, Timmy. Theater of the mind.
I'll just admit that I have.
Yes.
That's good enough.
Good call.
Right?
Good decision. 799-1250.
We're going to hear from manager Craig Counsell He's got to be pretty pleased. And at this point, again, this is a directive, almost a directive, from David Stearns that the next couple of weeks will determine the path of this organization this year. And maybe, hey, you never know. It could affect the next year or two. But this has to be a big win for Craig Counsell. He knows where he's at. I think he's managing as such. And maybe I hold too much of these moves, the correction of the game with Milwaukee County House of Correction, not letting Brandon Woodruff finish up the seventh yesterday, not letting Chase Anderson finish up the sixth today and just button that up with a solid, you know, six flat or a solid seven flat. Maybe it's because he is managing, knowing full well that these games are going to determine what happens by July 31st. It might be the deal. And based on what David Stearns said yesterday, you'd have to lean that way. And this is a huge win. It's a huge series victory. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Brewers get the win today, 5-4.
Where did things go right? Or, well, not so much. Where did this game turn? Time for today's Turning Point of the Game. Sponsored by Great Lakes Dragaway. Check out all the events and track rental info at greatlakesdragaway.com. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, you go back and look at Atlanta Braves baseball, and you will find that 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, man, they get it done. I mean, they do. And they did today and almost came back and stole this one. Brewers up 5-0 into the 8th inning. Junior Guerra, a couple of runs. Josh Hader deserved a better fate. They had the strikeout, huge strikeout. And Manny Pena throws it away and really tighten things up. But they do eventually get the victory. Turning point in this one with Great Lakes Dragaway. I'm going to say Manny Pena, that two-run bomb. I mean, that's sort of set the tone.
Oh, no doubt it did.
Put Chase Anderson into a little bit cruise control. Yeah, here's your turning point.
Day game after a night game on a hot afternoon. Good day to give Grandal a day off as Pena sends one deep to left. This is going to fly, and it's gone. Manny Pena, two-run home run. Bernie hits the slide. The Brewers have the early lead this afternoon as Pena has found the home run stroke lead.
Turning point here in a Brewers 5-4 victory, 2-0, as the Brewers went on for the win. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to hear from Craig Counsell. We're also going to hear from the Braves manager, Ryan Snitker, on Keston Hira, who just went 8-for-11 in this three-game series.
He has to absolutely hate that guy. Like, right? Like, you have to disdain that dude.
So he's a Braves killer then. So they're talking on the Braves postgame show right now. Yeah. And they're going, what? This Keston, I hate this Keston Hira guy.
I hope he becomes a Cardinal killer and a Cub killer, too. That would be the only way I would like him more.
Yes. The only way. Is he the next Brewers superstar?
Just about. It's as close to one as you've had here in the last, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years, homegrown, outside of Christian Yelich, I'm saying. Like, because Ryan Braun has been off of the superstar status since, what, 2014?
Yeah, we ought to get into that. Near misses, close calls, projected superstars, homegrown guys.
Older brother Matt would be one of those.
I was a big Matt Gamble guy.
You loved Matt Gamble, Tim. You also said that Matt LaPorta was going to be a Hall of Famer.
I did.
This is back in the day when your boy, young baby Tawish, was listening to Tim on the old transistor radio that you actually have, the other one, the black one that you have. I had one of those, and I used to put it up under my pillow because I got yelled at for listening to the radio too late at night. Like, dude, you got to go to bed. You have school tomorrow. You're only a seventh grader. So I would listen to you guys after games, and I would listen to you talk about Matt Gamble seemingly every other day. And when he finally got up here, it was like,
wow.
It was like your son was playing in the big leagues.
It was
the equivalent to what I would think of if Ty made the major leagues and you were able to watch him every single
now,
night.
Now, Matt LaPorta, on the other hand, I recall at a fundraiser somewhere, I bought a Matt LaPorta signed ball and a Matt LaPorta signed baseball bat.
You think you can turn those back in and get your money back?
I think my son used it for BP in college.
I would have. I don't know. Like, that's so. Not the ball where you
do.
If your kid grabs it off of your dresser, like in Sandlot, where you go over to the drugstore and grab the 89 cents so you guys can fake it. No one cares if that one goes missing.
Yeah, I think that the Matt LaPorta bat, had you put it online, I think the only people interested may have been his family.
It'd have been, what is this smudge on the bat?
It just might have been his family.
What happened?
Is what? I'm going to buy that. That's your bat, honey. Don't you want? Well, it's on sale.
Did you read Robert Murray's article about Ben and Matt? It was really cool.
Yeah.
When you listen to what Matt Gamble is doing, he is living every former baseball player's life, right? Groundskeeper at a golf course, teaches him baseball later,
yep.
Hangs out, watch my brother. I call him every once in a while, depending on it.
He made a few million in his career.
Well, for sure he did. And I thought the coolest part about it was, and being able to talk to those guys like Robert was, it's interesting when you hear the differences in career paths that they both took. One signs an agent, one goes in and has himself representing himself, and you see the differences and the issues that come along with that.
Yeah, it can be challenging. Craig Counsell on the way. You want to go to Tim here?
Let's do Tim.
Tim, you're that's on the fan. Weird. What's happening? Hey, Tim.
Okay. You talking to me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Jim.
Oh, Jim. Okay, gotcha, Jim.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on something. You know, I think that the Brewers' problems go back to the end of last year and the beginning of this year. I think that David Stearns, who everybody thinks is a genius, really flubbed it by not re-signing Wade Miley and Xavier Cedeno. He had the opportunity to re-sign them. Miley was a good left-handed pitcher, and they never re-signed him. Cedeno had a good year last year as a lefty reliever. They never re-signed him. Now if they want to go to a pitcher, now they got to make a trade. They got to give up people. And, you know, how good would Sonny Gray or Dallas Keuchel look in a Brewers uniform. But for some reason, the Brewers thought that their pitching staff was good enough and they didn't need to get it any better. And the problem was everybody else in the Central Division was getting better and the Brewers weren't.
I agree with you.
The Sonny Gray one is definite.
Yeah, unleashing three young starters in the rotation coming out of spring, that was a mistake.
Big time.
And Wade Miley came cheap. I think he signed down in Houston for $2.5 million
or $3.5 million. And it is one of those lottery tickets that we thought, we kind of figured that he wasn't going to come back, right? It was almost like a nod, knowing that they weren't going to bring him back.
Kind of
that
a
point.
Wink and a nudge and saying, yeah, probably.
Which I agree. It was strange because he was a major factor for them later in the year.
Man, he was tough. He really was. Now, Xavier Cedeno.
That's the first Xavier Cedeno mention that we've had this season.
If I'm not mistaken, did he not?
I thought he went to the Cubs.
Did he? Yeah. Did he not make the playoff roster? Was he on the playoff roster? He may not have been.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up. But the Xavier Cedeno, he did tail off at the end there. There's no doubt.
Well, they pitched him until his arm fell off.
Yeah, and it was he was like a true situational lefty. That's where you were at with Xavier Cedeno. No, but I agree with you, Jim, that you know a starter, a good veteran starter out of the chute here, an additional one, would have been nice. Now, Chacin plays that role now, and now he's got to step up into that role. That veteran presence has got to be there. Him and Gio, they've got to shine here. They do.
Cedeno was a change, this from back in the day, that it was meant that there was one roster change before game one of the NLCS. Cedeno was brought up and removed Keon Broxton, but he wasn't on the DS roster
DS,
when they went
okay.
up against the Rockies. You're right there.
Yeah, and it's because he kind of tailed off at the end there. But Jim, couldn't agree more on the Wade Miley thing. 799-1250 if you want to join this conversation. As the Brewers get a 5-4 victory, we're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up. But check this out from Snitker. As Keston Hira, is he sort of that, I mean, you project out, and we all have hopes with our favorite young players, right? We always, whether it's a baseball card or whether it's whatever it is, you see him, you get his autograph. Some of the kids, like when you were younger, Billy, running around Miller Park, and you get an autograph. And not that he was that good, but you just rooted for him. Like, he's going to be really good.
This
right?
dude's going to be legit. I had this one baseball team that I would get all the young prospects on, and every year I would go back and look and see what their years were like.
it's fascinating to hear what other guys say. We know what Craig Counsell is going to say about his team. We know what a guy like Christian Yelich is going to say about his teammates. I like hearing the other guys talk about the Brewer players. Check this out from the Braves manager.
I said, geez, he's one of those young kids that I've seen in the league that they're making busts of for the Hall of Fame. I mean, my God, that kid can really hit. You know, and I know our people liked him, you know, when he came out. And, you know, his timing and how he gets ready and all. He's a good-looking little player, man. And you can tell he's a hitter. He's a hitter, good-looking player.
Yeah, pure hitter is Keston Hira. Barrel-to-ball skills. More so than I've seen in a long time with a young player. And we'll see what happens, and he will be challenged. We all know that. He'll go through a little bit of a funk, and that's a learning process. But, man, they may have struck gold here in Keston Hira.
One of the tough parts about it, Tim, is you can say what you want about rankings and what you do in the minor leagues means this and what you do in college means that. You don't hit over 400 at any level and not be a legit baseball player.
And that at that high of a level. I mean,
that conference, you're playing at UC Irvine in college baseball. This isn't college football where UC Irvine's an FCS school. That's a top flight college baseball program.
This isn't the state all state in high school baseball, which I'm not downing that because that's pretty impressive too.
No doubt it is.
But most of those all state guys, offensive guys, are hitting over 400. That's a little bit.
Was hitting 445 and led all of D1 baseball.
UC Irvine
by dang near 80 points.
Huge competition.
Big time.
It's huge competition that has helped him out. Let's go to Dave on the Northwest side. You're next on the Fan.
Hey, Tim. First of all, I'd like to say thank you, Manny Pena, for proving my point. I hope it just keeps up, and maybe Craig Counsell will see that he needs to play a little more.
That's true. You said that not too long ago. Yep.
My other thought for today is going to sound a little odd, but I think from a performance perspective, I think that it might be something that might move our relief pitching into a more solid position. And I do follow horse racing.
Not really. I like to play it once in a while.
Let me ask you this. You know, you got a horse that runs a race and it runs 5 furlongs and it runs going away every time it races. And then it runs 7 furlongs and it fades. What's your first thought?
It's not an endurance horse.
Exactly. So maybe you should be running at 5 furlongs. Well, I was at the Brewer game on Friday, and Chase Anderson, in the first 2 innings, threw 15 pitches. He got through the inning in 2 innings and 15 pitches. And then I slept through the next 2 innings because he threw 40 pitches. So he was at 45 pitches. He was at 60 pitches at the end of the fourth inning. Today, he throws 20 pitches, and at the end of 4 innings, he's thrown 66.
Yeah, he had 30 in the third.
The guy is effective, really, and I'm not taking anything away from the fact that he gave up only one hit today, but he struggled both times mightily after the second inning. It's like he threw 2 almost perfect innings, and then everything else is a struggle. And, you know, with Chase Anderson, I hold my breath every time he pitches because he throws so many home runs. So my thought would be, okay, go out and get 1 or 2 starters and put Chase Anderson in the bullpen.
You might see that. You might see an odd man out here.
You definitely might. But the only issue is, Dave, and with Chase, they tried the experiment in the bullpen. He's just not comfortable with it.
So what you're saying is Chase can't last as long as you want him to?
Oh.
What I'm saying
not
is...
Not a marathon man?
Think about it.
Okay.
Like today, I mean, 20 pitches in the first 2 innings, and after 5 innings, he's at 90.
Yes.
Yes, right.
That's nuts.
It is.
Pitch efficiency.
That's Giovanni Gallardo-like.
Oh, it sure is. I was just about to bring him up. Dave, thanks for the call.
Oh,
yeah, no,
on.
It's
don't
pitch...
bring up yo.
It's pitch efficiency.
Don't bring yo into this.
I mean, there's certain...
Giovanni was the young dude that I thought was going to be legit.
Yeah, there's certain diseases that these pitchers have had over the years, like pitch efficiency disease. I mean, that's one of them that Yo had.
He did have an issue with pitch efficiency.
He had an issue with tequila the one night, too, but I'm just saying. Sorry.
Come on, dog.
And then now Corbin Burns came down with inflammation of his ERA. I mean, that's just
okay, but also, if we're going to call Chase Anderson home run derby, what are we going to call Corbin Burns?
No doubt. Wow. Yeah, there's certain inflictions.
Stinks, I love that, dude. Yeah. I mean, he is such a good kid.
He is. He'll get it together, man. There is a
process. Are you throwing him back in the rotation right away next year?
I would debate it. Yeah, I would see what he does the rest of this year and see how the offseason goes.
Well, you think he comes back up?
I think he still has a higher end future. Yeah, I do.
So you think he comes back up
this year?
This year.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, he'll be back in that bullpen this year.
Oh please, no.
They're going to try and recapture please, what no. he did last September, August, and September, aren't they?
Yeah, but Wouldn't have we you? Seen what's going on?
I know.
Have we seen what he's done this year?
It's tough. It's tough. It really is. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back here. Craig Counsell, you've got to be pretty pleased. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. Tim and Tausch take over here after a Wednesday victory for the Crew, 5-4 final.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
Yeah, it was almost Josh Hader getting lit up, but not really because of his fault. A couple of base hits, one a broken bat base hit.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can put him in that category of getting lit up.
You almost did.
Almost
could.
Dallas Keuchel?
Thank you. Like that.
How about it?
Five runs?
It was almost like, as a Brewer fan, I wanted the Brewers to have something to prove because they didn't get him.
There's also not many more people that I enjoy striking out, and I say striking out, not like I actually have ever struck anybody out. Freddie Freeman is one of those guys, too, that I really, really enjoy when the Brewers get him out, and you strike him out to end the game today and send the Braves packing. That was fun. That I enjoyed thoroughly.
Yeah, and, you know, the throwaway by Pena, okay. Come on,
Manny.
You got a better glove than that.
Then you get Albies in there again, and the whole lineup almost came through.
The, let's see, the Freddy Peralta at-bat, I got to say, in the, seventh inning,
here we go.
Bases loaded. Dansby Swanson. I'm telling you, an epic battle. A 10
epic
pitch
battle.
It was, man. I was going crazy.
Epic battle.
I was going crazy. Game. You talk about a turning point. That was it right there.
Well, because he got himself into it by walking the entire stadium.
He did. But man, once he started getting into it, man, that was huge. I was
Freddie
that.
In the bullpen. I really do. I think Freddie Moore, his future outside of being a starting, instead of being a starting pitcher, is in the bullpen. I think he could be a really high leverage reliever once he figures out how to control himself in controlled aggression.
But we knew
of
that.
Being a bullpen
guy. We knew that from his days of being a starter, that the first inning was his bugaboo. And that's why it surprised me that they were giving him a shot in the bullpen. You only get one or two innings. So if you're only getting one inning and your first inning of any outing is a walk fest, does that not say that maybe bullpen is not the way to go?
Yeah, it doesn't bode well for you being a dominant bullpen guy.
But it has worked. It really has. And maybe that's a guy that is that Corbin Burns from last year. Or is maybe it's Adrian Hauser. So they do have a couple of opportunities to pick up that reliever that everyone wants them to pick up from outside the organization. Maybe one of them is already internal. I know we'll see. We'll see because they need to step it up for sure.
If it's Hauser, you're in a really, really good spot because I get a couple of the starts were not what you want and weren't great. But Tim, he's been very productive for you all year long.
Hauser. Yeah.
And you've counted on him on pretty much four or five different occasions in about three or four different scenarios.
That's a good dude, too. You talk about Corbin Burns being a good dude. Housers. Outside of getting sick on the mound,
because
that wasn't his fault.
Right, because that. I mean, there's not many guys that can throw up in a major league game. We laugh about it.
Right.
And then tell us, hey, man, it's not like I was hungover or anything.
Right.
That made me like him even more.
Yeah, we do like him because he vomited on the mound.
And because he then admitted that you're going to think that I vomited on the mound because I was hungover.
Right.
He's like, because I know you were. And he pointed right at me.
Right, because
said,
you were.
I was actually hungover that day. That day. And I was like, dude, I feel all of his pain.
Yeah, no question. Let's check out the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game, which is brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. Check those guys out at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. And it is Manny Pena in the ninth inning. Just throw the ball to first. The big 8-foot, giant over there at first base.
Boom,
and
right
just
there.
Just like, even a lollipop, it would have been fine. Oh, but you just airmailed it. And are you kidding me? That almost cost this game,
dude. I saw shades of Cincinnati with Yelich throwing the ball over Hira's head, in between short hop and Thames, bounces away.
Yep. And what a way to oof. Okay,
so that's still what a way to lose, right?
Yeah, the Brewers need one of those back. They're still waiting to get that thing back. There's your Are You Kidding Me moment. Let's hear from manager Craig Counsell after the Brewers' 5-4 series victory win.
Do you think Pena kind of got caught in between on that ball that squibbed away? It looked like he, instead of setting himself and throwing, he kind of flipped it.
You could say that. I mean, he's running to chase the ball. You don't know where the runner's necessarily at, so his first thought was to get rid of it, and it ended up being a little high. He probably could have set his foot and just tried to maybe a good throw like inside, but when you're running away from the play and you lose your sense of timing, I think, as much as anything.
For Josh just sort of recover. I mean, Donaldson gets the hit, but then Josh kind of recovers and gets it. You guys really wanted that series, didn't you?
Yeah, it was just a little bit of a strange outing. The first two hitters get broken bat hits, and it's, baseball, this is what baseball does to us. When we start talking about some statistical oddity, then it corrects itself of not giving up any singles. And so that's what happened today for Josh. But he made good pitches to Freeman. He made good pitches to Albies to get it. So it, they put a nice comeback on him. Had some good at-bats against him, but he finished it.
What about watching Freddie battle there in the seventh?
Yeah, that was a fun battle for sure. I mean, Swanson gave him a great at-bat, and Freddie just kept – I was really proud of Freddie, man. It was a jam, and a big spot, and I thought he raised his game. I thought he kept making pitches. Swanson had kept following him off, had a great at-bat, but it was a big – I thought it was a big moment for Freddie. It was kind of a you want to be a reliever, you want to be in big moments. That's a big moment, and a guy putting a great at-bat against you – and he just kept making pitches and won the battle.
Chase, also close to the sixth inning mark there. Walk Freeman, but great start for him.
Yeah, no, it was a great start. I mean, it was, he gave up one hit, and the Donaldson matchup was kind of the matchup we had circled as a tough matchup for Chase today. He's a tough matchup for anybody right now, really, but, yeah, he pitched really well. He's on the attack, and his pace was really good. I thought he set a really good pace, and I think when he sets that good pace, it kind of just gets him going in his delivery as well. So lots of good stuff there, lots of kind of lazy fly balls, pop-ups, good stuff.
I know you spoke about it a little bit pregame, but are Brewers fans kind of getting a taste of the bat that Kestin can bring day in and day out?
Yeah, what a series. He just – driving the ball, hard contact, just the ability to hit the ball past the outfielders consistently. It was a special three games, man. It was fun to watch.
Craig, it's not exactly McGuire, Sosa, but Yelich and Bellinger seem like they're both kind of enjoying the home run chase. I don't know if you call it that in July, but do you get the sense Christian is sort of fueled by that at all, that that's on his radar in any way?
I think it's anything that's competition for Christian is going to motivate him. I think he was happy to make contact against Dallas Keuchel, after his first two at bats. So, you just stood there in the first pitch of that at bat. And so I think he was playing possum almost, like he wasn't going to swing the whole at bat. But look, he's having an incredible season, and it continues. And even in stretches where, you know, maybe he complains that he's not feeling perfect, he's still putting up some incredible numbers.
Which player is ready for the bigs? What will the next series bring for the crew? Time for some forward thinking, sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at ffpwi.com.
So now the Diamondbacks. Yeah, we're going to hear from Keston here in just a couple of minutes, so don't go anywhere. Now the Diamondbacks.
Can't wait. I'm juiced up.
Yeah.
Let's see some Diamondbacks in here.
I'm checking out, and not that I was planning on heading out to Arizona again, although I would love to.
I really would I love Arizona, man, but the thing is, at this point in time, like Vegas right now, it's like 110.
It's not much higher than it is here. Much hotter. I mean, a little bit, 10 degrees or so, but, I mean, it's hot here. I mean, we could pretend this is a home game. There's a retractable there, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They got AC in there, too.
Yeah, a four-game set against the Diamondbacks. So a little late-night conversation about Brewers baseball. A little forward thinking about planning your schedule here.
I got you tomorrow night, 7:30, baby. Get you ready to go. Brewers D-backs.
Oh, yeah, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show, getting you ready. Yeah, these are two of the teams muddled up in the NL, right? These are similar teams that could run away. They could stand pat. They could sell. They could do a number of things. And this series, pivotal series for the crew. Every game, man, every game. David Stern says this 2 week of period is going to say a lot. And that means they got to win. And I think Craig Counsell is managing that way as well. Forward thinking. Brought to you by Forward Financial Partners, ffpwi.com. Keston Hira, the next budding superstar in a Brewers uniform. We're going to hear from him next here on The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes post-game update as we take you inside the clubhouse. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Post-Game Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, let's go inside the clubhouse. First, the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski. Dude, Keston Hira, 8 for 11 in the series. You see what he's doing on a regular basis. We talk about it on the post-game show.
Yep. Unreal. Lights out, man. It's hard to believe he ever got sent down. And, you know, we were all shaking our heads when that happened. And, you know, I give him a ton of credit that not only did he take it like a man, getting sent down when he didn't deserve to be, he came right back up and continued raking, and he's raking harder now than he was the first time.
Well, and guys, how tough is that when you're supposed to be an all-world prospect, right? And then you get sent down in the middle of it, right, when you're maybe starting to hit a stride. He had the big clutch home run against Pittsburgh, and what was he sent down 2 days later?
Yeah, just rolling, just getting going.
He was knocking on the door of 300 as his average then. He's up to 323 right now.
So amazing. It's just amazing. I think they found one. They found a good one. It's almost like you're jealous when you look at the other organizations and they got this young dude and he does this, that, and the other thing. And you're like, where's ours? I'm so glad he didn't start out his Brewers career like Lewis Brinson did.
Whoops.
Who came with all the accolades, many of the same accolades.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Five tools is going to be one of the top hitters around.
Dude's going to hit. And he's still not hitting.
No, he's still not.
No,
he's not. Looks closer to that Dexter Fowler comparison.
Keston Hira, here's what he had to say after the game.
You know, it's always good to be able to feel the ball, you know, go off the barrel and, you know, find those holes and whatnot. Especially, you know, with the start of the second half after the All-Star break. I kind of want to really make a statement for myself, just to prove to myself that you know what you're doing, and kind of not press too much or anything like that. Kind of do what you do.
Did you find you were pressing at all? Like it wasn't going as well at the start of the second time up as it did the first time?
No, I mean, not necessarily pressing. You know, I just knew what I was capable of being able to do, and it was kind of more just I was going out of my game plan and trying to do a little too much. So I think just be able to realize that and kind of clicked in my head.
What has been the biggest adjustment in what you've learned from the first trip up here to the consistency that you found over this home stand?
Yeah, you know, I think at first, you know, when you go, you know, you're playing at the highest level, you know, facing, you know, aces every single day, guys that, you know, have been around in the big leagues forever, where they know how to pitch to, you know, everyone, you know, how to execute and whatnot. So I think just being able to understand that and not kind of conform to their plan, that's kind of, you know, one of the biggest adjustments, I'd say.
Yeah, there he is, Keston Hira, not conforming to their plan. That's your AB, Keston.
Yeah, that's me.
That's your AB,
I'm
going to
tell you the pitch that I'm swinging at.
Come on now, kid. Go on and get him.
Keston Hira might be one of the coolest customers in the game. You're going to know that once you start talking to him a little bit more. Like, Brewer fans are going to really learn to dig this kid.
Yeah.
I remember the first time you and I interviewed him down at spring training, Timmy, and like he looked like a baseball player. He had like his undershirt tucked into his pants, like most baseball players do, with like a small little body. And all of a sudden, we're like two questions in, and this dude is just sweating profusely. And me, as a sweater and a nervous dude, I'm like, man, I feel bad for this kid. Next time we come up, we're talking to him, we're like, hey,
cool.
Keston, good talking to you, man. He goes, hey, what's up, guys? Yep. Shakes up with you, gives a little dap in the hug down, too. Like, he's a cool cat.
He is a good dude. And Milwaukee, we are happy to have him and lucky to have him at this point, for sure. All right, that's going to do it for us. Let's talk some Brewers baseball late night tomorrow night. Brewers and Diamondbacks from the desert. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey for the Polish Pipe Bomb. Baby Tausch, Bill Schmid, Tim and Tausch take over here for the postgame show. Brewers get the victory and enjoy it and smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.